Joining me now is Colonel Rodman Smith with Minnesota DNR Enforcement. Welcome.
Good morning.
Oh, another year. Here we are.
Another year.
Jeez, they just go by so fast, so fast. Well, wanted to visit with you. Obviously, Stillwater, the host to this year's Governor's Fishing Opener. A little twist this year. We're going to be river fishing.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that and it being here in Stillwater on the river?
You know, I was kind of shocked to hear that this is the first year that Stillwater has ever hosted the Governor's Fishing Opener. I mean, the fishing that happens in this community, especially along the St. Croix, is really second to none across the state. And so I was actually kind of surprised to hear that this was the first year for it. So I think it's a great opportunity to showcase river fishing. You know, a lot of folks that just get into fishing kind of can be intimidated by river fishing, but you know, it's a great resource. You go out on especially a river like the St. Croix and you drop your line in and you really never know what you're going to pull up on the other end.
There's so many
different species, right? And there's so many, they're fun to catch. Once you get into fishing, especially fishing on a river, and they get that nibble and you set the hook and you start reeling in, you can almost kind of tell just by the way the fish bites what kind of fish it is.
So. I know. I'm so jealous. Like, hopefully I'll get to go out tomorrow, but that's what I heard. You can get anything from walleye to sauger to...
Sheep's head. Yeah, well, they're fun to catch.
Do you know how many interviews I've done today? And every time we talk about a sheep head and sturgeon, whatever it may be, I crinkle my nose. Like, that would scare the bejeebies out of me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, they're fish, right?
I know.
I mean, it's no different than any other fish.
And native to Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes it even more exciting. When we talk about enforcement, is there a lot of differences between lake enforcement and river enforcement?
No, not really. I mean, really the only difference is you know, St. Croix River is a border water, so we share that with Wisconsin. And so some of the regulations on border waters like the St. Croix River are different than the inland lakes. And so we mirror the regulations that are in Wisconsin. And, you know, so there's not like a hard, fast line across the river where, you know, and so, in fact, a little further down when you start to get into the Mississippi, you know, the regulations are the same between railroad tracks on the Wisconsin side of the railroad tracks on the Minnesota side. And if you have a Minnesota license, you can fish on the Wisconsin side and vice versa. And so makes it a lot easier for people that do want to recreate on those border waters like either the St. Croix or the Mississippi.
And when we're talking about enforcement, not making you the big bad guy or anything like that, but are there any common mistakes that anglers make?
Sure. I mean, we run into a lot of things that are common, you know, and a lot of people think of enforcement. They think of, you know, getting checked and making sure I need to have everything. We answer a lot of questions. We spend a lot of time with folks on the water answering their questions like, I'm on a border water, what can I do, you know? But we do see, you know, especially early in the season, for a lot of folks, this is the first time they're probably going to have their boat on the water. We tow a lot of boats in on fishing opener that aren't working, you know. But, you know, some of the common things that we see are, you know, so the registration for boats, they expire at the end of December. If people are like me, I get that registration renewal notice in the mail in January, and I put it on the bulletin board and thinking, May's a long ways away, and then it sneaks up on you, right? And so we see some, you know, registration issues, folks, you know, the fishing licenses expire at the end of February, need to get a new one for March. Again, people, I'm not going to fish until the opener, and they might forget in all the hoopla building up to fishing opener. So just things like that. And then a lot of our inland lakes do have some special regulations with size for walleyes and different limits. And so we'll see people that are either confused, that don't know there's a special regulation, or they're catching fish and they're just keeping ones they're not supposed to catch. So,
and you know, just also a good reminder, you know, when you're going from lake to lake or leaving to clean that drain in your boat.
Absolutely. So, you know, we made it fairly simple in Minnesota, clean, drain, dry. And so you trailer your boat to leave the access, clean all the weeds off, right? All the weeds off the trailer, all the weeds off the boat. And then pull the plug on the back of the boat and drain all the water out of it, including your live wells if you have water in the live wells, and then leave that drain plug out after you leave the access. Just remember to put it back in at the next lake.
Or we might be getting a tow, or worse yet.
Pump out.
Well, and then finally, I'm really excited about this. I know the DNR is launching kind of their new licensing system.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know how excited I am for that? Because I, last summer, was fishing with my dad. The DNR came.
Yep.
I had one, but it was back at the cabin, and I thought he'd be like, okay, I trust you. My dad didn't have his either. Did the whole ride back to the cabin, the shame with the DNR conservation, ran up into my bedroom, came back down, and it was fine. But I am so excited that our mobile device, we're going to be able to do everything. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's going to be a learning curve for folks. You know, I mean, people that hunt and fish, they're very traditional in what they do. They, you know, like my dad is 84. He goes to the same bait store every year to buy his fishing license from the same bait store. He goes to a different place to buy his deer license. And so there'll be a learning curve for folks, but you can't do hardly anything anymore without an app. And when I say that, it's my garage door opener broke and I had to get a new garage door opener. And the garage door opener has an app. I had to download an app for the garage door opener. And so, I mean, I just wanted to push a button, right? And so, I mean, there'll be a learning curve for folks, but it will be nice because, you know, it's amazing. And I'm the same way. People, when they leave their house, the first thing they think of is, do I have my phone?
Right.
And you never leave your, and so people always have their phones on them. And so it'll be nice. And then when we get into the fall hunting seasons, when they have to like tag a deer, for example, you'll be able to do all that right on your phone. You won't have to get out a zip tie and cut something into the leg of the deer to put the tag on the deer. Everything will be done right there on the app on the phone. So it'll be a learning curve, but we're not the first state to do this. There's a lot of states that have moved this way, and so we're excited to get into the 21st century, I guess.
And in for folks, there'll still be that option of going into the baits.
Yep.
There'll still be, you know, whether it be, you're going to have options. We're not taking away the old tradition.
Nope. So there's still opportunity for those folks that maybe don't have a mobile device, or we actually have communities in Minnesota, like Amish communities, that, you know, they don't have that technology, right? And they don't live with that technology. So there will still be the availability for folks to go to a bait store or go to someplace and purchase a license over the counter.
All right. Well, any final words for anglers before they head out for what I call the Christmas of fishing?
Yeah. The unofficial kickoff.
The unofficial kickoff.
The Super Bowl of fishing, the NASCAR of fishing.
Right. Yeah.
No, just, you know, the weather's supposed to be good. It might be cool in northern Minnesota. Those water temps are still really cold. I was talking to a guy yesterday out of Grand Rapids, and that water temp up there was still in that 48 to 50 degrees. That's really cold. So, you know, especially in the early part of the season, wear your life jacket. You fall in that cold water, you're going to get what's called torso reflex, where you gasp and go, because that cold water hits you. And that's where people inhale water, and that's what starts that drowning process. What I like to say is, if you're in a car crash, it's too late to put your seatbelt on after the car crash. It's too late sometimes to put that life jacket on after you fall into the water. So especially early season, wear the life jackets. They're not the ones that we had when we were growing up, those big orange horse collar things where you couldn't move your neck.
Oh, they were horrible.
Yes, they were. But they're actually comfortable nowadays. In like a weekend like this, they're going to be at an extra little bit of warmth when you're out there. So wear those life jackets, especially early season.
And you talked about those orange ones. They weren't light back then either.
No.
They were like sandbags.
I know. But we were too young to care.
I know. Because
we were having fun.
I know, but I just remember that. Or the ones that come up like over your head, you know, and you're just like, oh, yeah. We've come a long way
yes,
with
we
floating
have.
Devices.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.